The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now let's listen to the speech of Sheikh Jafar Jafar.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We are going to be looking at a particular tradition. It's a lengthy tradition, but it's a tradition that is reported by our Prophet in giving counsel and advice to Imam Ali. There are about 12 to 13 very specific things that the Prophet asks from Imam Ali alayhi salam to follow. And so we will take our time in understanding these advice that the Prophet gives. Now again, when you look at these advice, the reason I picked them in particular is that they're very practical. Yeah, they're extremely practical, extremely doable. Now, it doesn't make it easy to do. Yeah, I'm not saying it's easy to do. It's doable, and it's practical, and it's something that really shouldn't catch us off guard. But they are pretty interesting. So we'll begin with the salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Ma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. He says, amma al-ula. He says, O Ali, the first advice. Fasidq. Yeah. وَلَا تَخْرَجُنَّ مِنْ فِيكَ كِذْبَةٌ أَبَدًا. Yeah? First advice, like I said, simple, right? The first advice, the Imam, the Prophet says, Ali, Ali, I advise you to always speak the truth. Yeah? And a lie should never come out of your mouth. It's a very beautiful way of saying it. You know, it's not saying that don't lie, but the lie should never even come out of your mouth. You know, when you look at the Prophet was known as Sadiq, right? As-Sadiq, the truthful one, way before Risala, right? Before the Risala officially came down, he was already known amongst the people to be truthful. And in that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really teaching us the importance of truthfulness in the building of a society, right? If the Prophet was not known to be truthful, or if he was known to be somebody average like me, right? Where you know me, you don't know me to lie, but you don't necessarily call me Sadiq behind my back, do you? Yeah? And so you consider him to be a normal person. If that person brought something like the Risala, it would not be easily acceptable by people because they may doubt of its authenticity. Yeah? But if you have already established the fact that this person is never lied, I can trust him with anything, hence then whatever that person brings, you have no reason to doubt what that person brings, isn't it? Right? And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us the value and the importance of honesty and trust, right? Our entire society, if you think about it, is dependent upon truthfulness, yeah, and trust. I go to the doctors, I trust what the doctor is going to prescribe for me. I don't question it. How many of us go and Google the prescription? No, we just go to the pharmacy and get it. I go to the pharmacist and I trust that the drug company has given me drug that is pure and there's not going to be something contaminated. I go buy shampoo. I trust. I don't read the ingredients. Will this burn my hair? Will this burn? I just use it. Because why? Trust is there. We trust each other. Trust is the glue, right, that holds our society together. And in fact, the fact that this honesty and trust was the first thing that the Prophet talked about, when ulama do tafsir of this hadith, they say that the fact that this is mentioned first, one, denotes its importance, but number two, it's the glue that holds everything else together. If you don't have honesty, and if you're a person who is frequently or accustomed to lying, not frequent, maybe just accustomed to lying, then the rest of the things that he talks about after will not be so easily put together. And so this is really important, right? But so we find that truth is the glue that holds society together. And the moment a lie comes in between, there is a permanent fracture that takes place in that society or in that entity. Yeah. If, for example, in a relationship, one of the persons or one of the party lies, it is very difficult to look past that lie in the future. Yeah? If you have a business partner who lies to you, it's very difficult to look past that lie. If you have a government that lies to you, it's very difficult to trust that government again, right? And so you see that why lying is considered to be so vile, right? Now, even in that vileness, it's very rare that somebody can look past a lie and totally forget that that lie happened. We may be able to go past it and move past it. But the lie, the memory of that and that fracture, you know, when I think of that fracture, I think like that wall, the Kaaba and the crack of that Kaaba, no matter how they try to like put cement on it, you can't hide the crack that is there, right? And likewise, when you have a lie in a relationship, that crack remains forever, right? Now, you may be able to go past it or not. That's depending on the individual and the severity of the lie. And so you see that when you look at our traditions, it's really interesting that how much lying is considered to be vile in the eyes of Allah, how condemned lying is. You know, this one particular hadith stands out. This hadith is from our fifth Imam Al-Baqir alayhi afdalu salatu wa salam. Salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad, where he says, Inna Allah azza wa jal ja'ala lish-sharri aqfalan wa ja'ala mafatiha tilka al-aqfal wa hiya sharab. And it is, he didn't say wa hiya and sharab. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned certain locks for all types of evil. Yeah, so all types of evil have these locks on it. And he says the key to those locks is wine, to drink alcohol. Yeah, it's the key that opens up all of these locks, right? Because of all of the subsequent damage that happens from alcohol, right? And the society and the effects that it has on society. And so he says that there are locks that are placed on evil. And the key to that lock is sharab, drinking alcohol or wine. And then the Imam says, wal kadhibu sharrum min ash-sharab. Subhanallah. He says, but lying is worse than alcohol. Think about that for a second, right? Now, alcohol is a huge sin, right? We all accept it's a huge sin. But here we are told that lying is worse than drinking. And that's something to think about, right? Like, so sometimes when we hear these type of traditions, we'll be like, that doesn't make sense to me. There must be maybe something wrong with this tradition or not. But there are a couple of ways to explain why we sometimes doubt these type of things that sound beyond our imagination. Because this sounds beyond our imagination. We've always assumed alcohol is so bad, right? And it is bad. No one's downplaying alcohol or the drinking of alcohol. But I think there's a couple of reasons for that, right? Like why we may have certain difficulty accepting it. Though on one side of it, we accept it because it's the word of the Imam. We don't doubt it. Right? But intellectually, why do we have maybe a hard time believing it? Well, number one, because we lack the awareness of the effects of sin in the hereafter. Right? We only concentrate on the effect of something from a very materialistic point of view because that's all you and I know. And so when we see alcohol, we can clearly see the effects of alcohol in this world, don't we? Yeah, we can see people drinking and driving, getting into an accident, going to jail, losing their license, etc., etc. Oh, terrible effects. We see someone drinking continuously, they get liver problems, now they had an alcoholic, there's so many problems. We see someone's marriage break because of that. So we see all of these negative effects that come through the drinking of alcohol. And so we say, you know what, that means in Akhirah, it must be even worse than that. And with lying, I lied to you, and khalas, it's done. There's no side effects that really take place. I go and I sleep like a baby, you know? Nothing happens to me, right? And things go on. And so we think that maybe lying then is bad, but that's the problem, right? It's not what happens in this world, what happens in the hereafter, and the translation of a sin in the hereafter. What we understand from the people who know the effects of sins in this world and the hereafter, they tell us lying is worse than drinking. Subhanallah. Yeah? Remember that. Yeah? Remember the vileness of this lie.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Alimun Hali Hakimun Mati. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.